from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com. This is the Press Box.
Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two.
And welcome in, everybody. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, and part of the Be On Air Network. Marty to my left, Carlos to my right, and Ryan right in front of me. How are you guys doing today? I know, Marty, you're doing good. Carlos, awesome. I know you're doing great. Ryan, welcome into the Press Box, brother.
Good to be here. It's a different vantage point from back in the producer's box. I like it.
Yeah, man. You're a real deal now. No on-air talent. You're actually making the work happen back there, bro.
No.
And I forgot to say, I completely didn't even see him. T. Weber is back there with us today. What's going on, brother?
Not a lot, boys.
Yeah, Mr. Boulder Cooker. That's what I call. I call him the Boulder Cooker.
Boy, that's a pretty shit orange you're wearing there,
bro,
Weber.
Hey, dude, this guy's he's a chef, bro.
I love it.
Like, I mean, chef. Like, he could be like, come on, Ramsey. Ramsey, bro.
You talking about Weber?
Yeah.
Gourmet chef?
Dude, Guy Weber Fury? Is a gourmet chef at the University of Colorado, dude. He cooks for the big boys.
Beautiful.
I'm talking a whole football team.
What's he go for as a specialty, I wonder?
Probably $3.50 an hour.
What's his chef special?
Don't go lower than that, Weber. I want my cut.
Especially in what, Marty?
Well, ramen. Meaning you say
ramen noodles.
Let me ask this chef something. Everybody I've ever served this meal to has watered themselves, their lips licked, chops craving more. What's your go-to dish, Weber, if you're so good as they say?
I'm getting pretty good at smoking food, man. I can do some badass smoked ribs.
I'm good at smoking,
very
too.
Good, very good. You went out and got your smoker, did you?
I have one at school I use.
Good boy.
Too much weed. Well, guys, we got a lot of stuff to get into today, starting with the biggest headline of them all. Hometown Denver Nuggets pulled it out last night.
Wow.
With the skin of their teeth.
What a heart attack.
55 points at halftime and 80 points to finish.
That's one of the most stressful games I've ever watched in my life.
They scored. Do you know how many points they scored? Do you know how many points they scored? Oh, you're, in
50.
No, the third quarter.
Oh, probably only like 10.
15.
It was 15, I believe.
Okay. You saw the 5-minute scoring drought.
35 or 40.
Okay, you saw the 5-minute scoring drought.
Uh huh. 5 minutes. It was 10.
It overlapped quarters. We'll get some exact
Joker
numbers.
Joker broke the drought with the little flop.
There was a thought. Early on in that first quarter, they may not hit another shot. You thought that. Let me just give you a quick thing real quick here on this Nuggets. To me, this game went exactly like the Nuggets season has, okay? They got that lead up to 17, and they had it up there 17 a couple of times. And every time you wanted to go to 20, every time you wanted to bury them, every one time you wanted to stick your foot on the throat of the Utah Jazz, they couldn't get that bucket. You saw Michael Porter Jr. start thinking he could hit whatever in town in that first half. You saw that little run. Utah got it to 14. Okay, you knew the third quarter was going to be critical. And, boy, the Jazz said, we're not leaving, right?
No,
now, this is a Jazz team, right, that's they're the ones that started COVID-19. We had Rudy Gobert, right?
Yes,
and here we
true.
Have Rudy Gobert here in this final true. Game, Game 7. Rudy
touch,
Gobert and Mitchell were good. But wasn't Rudy Gobert, I mean, here he was swinging from the rafters, essentially. 19 points, 18 rebounds. I mean, he was really, really good, okay? And it took Joker being really, really good at 30 points, right? Because you know what didn't happen? Jamal didn't have the 50-point explosion, which you knew he wasn't going to, right? And I knew, and we heard early on, and in fact, it was taunted, that if Jamal Murray doesn't score 50, the Nuggets are going to lose. And that's just not true when the Nuggets decide to, or when Joker decides to put team on his back for those periods where Jamal's not great. But let me just say this. Unlike most of the season where you had to have the crucial stop, the critical moment, they got the steal from Donovan Mitchell. Okay? They took that thing down court. Mm-hmm. They should have made the layup.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace.
Yep.
The ball
from Connelly
mm-hmm. was halfway down, was it not? And that was going to lose. You were going to go home, losing by one, sent home in the bubble, and you had a 17-point lead. The Nuggets did the right thing with the turnover on Donovan, and they got the break, and now they get a move on. What I'm hoping, and this is coaching, and this is a young team, do you understand the opportunity you've escaped? I mean, this was 3-1, the brink of death. Here you come, and now you are. And if anybody's intimidated by the Clippers, please step back.
I am.
Please step back and say you are to make Kawhi Leonard your world, and you got a shot.
So yeah, if you sit there and defend Kawhi Leonard for 4 games, 5 games, 6 games, yeah, you'll have a shot. But ultimately, I don't think Denver's defense is going to be able to handle that.
The Clippers are just built to handle the two-man game that we play in the way that the Jazz are not.
They're going to take Joker out of the game, and they're going to take Murray right out, dude. And we got what left.
So let me ask you a question, though. So why was the Nuggets rushing down the court when they should have just sat on the ball?
They did have a fast break. They did, and they did have 3-1. For all intents and purposes, you could go either way. I mean, I guess conventional basketball wisdom says maybe hold the ball and wait for him to foul you.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're an NBA player, I'm talking to you, Torrey Craig, that ball should have gone down.
So we'd be having a different conversation if that ball went in at the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then we were like, why didn't you stop? Why didn't you sit on the ball?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Now, here's I think we have to go to it. And this is where, you know, Coach Malone, you know, I've heard it said, you know, Scott Hastings said it really good. What he said was, they want to be a defensive team, but they don't have the defensive players to do it, okay? They want to be this hard-nosed, gutty team. They don't have those kind of players, but they have a highly skilled team. Torrey Craig got caught up in the moment and basically was like a – reminded me of a high school kid that just really didn't appreciate, holy cow, 4 seconds, this thing's over. Don't do anything stupid with the ball.
You run all the way down, miss a layup, and possibly a potential. That ball went in
and
out of that hoop, dude.
Yeah. It was almost kind of like when J.R. Smith gets the rebound.
Oh, my gosh. And he doesn't even know where to pass the basketball. What are you doing? Like,
the brain went on fritz.
You're in such a mode right now, in a playoff mode. Like, that's all you got to sit here and think about. And to sit here and look at a professional athlete as in J.R. Smith when he did that, where is your head at, bro?
I mean, it's hard to judge, you know, completely when they're on autopilot in the heat of the moment, you know. Same thing, Chris Webber calling the timeout in the national championship game. Technical free throw. Same kind
of It highlights the inexperience of this team, though. And so the problem with Malone, though, is that, you know, like a to have a 17-point lead evaporate, to me, that's 100% coaching, right? Mm-hmm. Because
that's
not 100% disrupted
basketball. You know, that's all runs. It happens basketball all the time.
But I'm saying with a fantastic the NBA is all runs. You're right. It's going to be 9-0. It's going to be here's a 14-2. And at the end of the day, we're going to play a very close game. But it's who manages the runs against it the best?
Yeah, that's it.
And I'm saying that personnel at the end of the second quarter and that group at the end of the third did everything they could to regurgitate a 17-point lead and go home. Now, Denver media and Denver public would have probably given Nuggets pat on the back. Why? Because they come from 3-1. They get it to a game 7. They play it all the way the wire. They'd say, God, this is a young team, and they're really cutting their chops, and they're doing it. But they're the 3 seed. They're a higher-ranked seed. They've been a favorite. They're better. They're more talented. When do the excuses stop and the winning start against more elite teams? Right.
To your point, when the Jazz were making that run, the Nuggets looked way too comfortable still.
Yes.
Dude, they looked flat-footed coming out of the break, out of the halftime. They did absolutely nothing in the third quarter. Took them, 20 minutes to score a basket?
And they were still getting.
And it was a turnaround fly-up Jay from Joker.
Yeah.
Right?
And
And
in that process, too, they were still getting good shots. Yep. They were still taking good shots. They just weren't going in.
Gary Harris missed 2 good-looking threes during that run. You know, he finally got one.
So
but
I got a quick question for you guys before we hop out of this segment. Does Denver beat L.A.? Do they beat the Clips?
I hate to say
it. And if they do, what is it? It's got to be 4-3.
I've never wanted to be more wrong on anything in my life, but no, I don't think they do.
I got them 4-2.
I got them winning game 1. In game 5, I think it goes 6.
4-2. That's what I got.
Like I said, I hope I'm wrong, folks.
Marty?
Okay, Joel. Quickly. Probably not. But check it out. There's no pressure on the Nuggets now. Pressure's off. Pressure's on the Clippers. Mm-hmm. They'll be better without pressure.
Carlos? They take out the Clippers? They make it to the NBA Finals?
No, they lose in game 6.
Well, you guys heard it right here on the Press Box. This is on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network, and we will be right back after the break.
Every day, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air. College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it, too.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man. Live in the now.
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are here on the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. Anthony, Marty, Carlos, and Ryan back there. I'm your host, Squirrel. And guys, we are going to jump into some abs and some Rockies. Okay?
Which one do you want to talk about first?
We're going to talk about the abs first.
Yeah.
Let's get the
good news first, bad news later.
Let's get the decent news done, and then we'll, you know, soil ourselves later. So last night, was it? No, it was tonight. Am I wrong? It's tonight. They play tonight.
Game six.
This is game six. Let me set the game here. This is game six. This is Dallas Stars leading 3-2. Avalanche won on Monday.
Yeah. So is it three? It's three. What, 3-3? No, it's
two to three Dallas.
I said this last series when they scored 14 goals in 2 games that they were running out of goals. Now everyone was telling me that this team can score so much and so much. Well, we've seen it last game with 5 goals in the first period. Do they do that again? Do they pull a Nuggets? Do they pull a Denver Nuggets down what 3-1? They were down 3-1. Am I wrong? They won last night, makes it 2-3. Win tonight, make it 3-3. And then 2 days from now, take it again and come back. Do both teams, obviously one, has done it. And I think the Avs are a better team in their sports world than Denver is at the moment.
Also, the Nuggets. Historically, there's been way more teams that have come back from 3-1 in the NHL playoffs than in the
NBA. Well, nobody's come back from 4-0, have they?
No.
Not yet.
So yeah, 3-1 is about the only thing they would be able to seriously come back from.
Let's not avoid something that's really, really, really critical when you talk about series and back and forth. There's no travel. These are bubbles. So in the NBA,
everybody.
Right. So that swing game, that game six that would normally be, or that
going back home.
Yeah,
or
the travel. That's right. Out.
How many arenas are they actually playing in? Two?
Playing in two.
Two.
Two. So it's Scotiabank, right? Mm-hmm.
It's Edmonton and Toronto.
Yeah, Edmonton and Scotiabank is the big one in Toronto.
So when I was watching the Flyers game last night, they had a stat of teams coming back 1-3 down.
Yeah,
you know, compared to 3-1, you know, it's 80% to 20%.
Jeez, dude.
Yeah,
really?
80% to 20%.
So what does that tell you for the hockey playoff world? It's always up for grabs. You never.
But Marty,
know.
Marty made a great
no?
point. Great point. No one's going anywhere. No travel. Okay. No, everyone's just and hockey. You know, we talked about this. You know, during the whole boycott thing mm-hmm. and everything else, mm-hmm. They're in their own world.
Yes, they are.
I don't care what, you know, black, white, whatever. They're in their own world.
Absolutely.
And they're just like, they just want that damn cup.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You got to figure that. And I stepped back this weekend, you know, because the NBA is driving me a little bit nuts with some of the preachiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I also look at, you know, they're in this, they're like 2 months in this thing, this bubble. You just hit it on the head, too.
58 days they've been there.
Yeah. The NBA days. Has this yeah. distraction of we're to bring racial mm-hmm. causes to the table and secure all that. You hit it. Mm-hmm. These hockey players are in that same sequester, although right. they don't have any skin in the game for this Black Lives Matter. Not, mm-hmm. whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. That's not what they're there for, right? They've not taken that on. You're seeing the best of the best. This is what you're also seeing better of, I think, officiating. And the reason is you have no influences in officiating. Mm-hmm. How many times have you seen an NBA official or official in general play to a home crowd? Play to a home,
a
charge call, the pressure, that's gone.
Yeah.
What we're supposed to be witnessing, and I think we are, because why you saw Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell go off like that, there's no pressure of crowd, mm-hmm. right? So in the bubble environment, the best get better. That's what I really think. The best get even better. And so if you're a you saw it last night. You're seeing it with Miami as they're shooting.
So you're saying they don't need crowd noise.
What I'm saying is it only enhances the great player.
So with them bringing in crowd noise now, what is that going
to
do?
I think they're used to it. I think after the first 2 weeks of them playing back again.
And they're playing at the same gym, at the same time, same day. Sure. You know, they're getting in the zone. It's the same thing with hockey.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
they're in a routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're just back to in a type of their own internal normalcy mm-hmm. of getting this cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is nothing. You would see this team lay down. You would have seen them lay down two nights ago if they said, we want to get the hell out of here. We want to get out of here. We want to go home.
Yeah.
This team said, well, we did this for 2 months or whatever, another month. Forget it. We're going for it. So a 3-1 comeback. No, that's not off the table.
You kind of saw the chip on their shoulder, too, when they said, hey, we're not the team that should be down 3-1
exactly.
in this series. And they mm-hmm. came out guns blazing.
5-0 message.
I think they're going to take a page out of the Nuggets book and ride that momentum, mm-hmm. at least win the game tonight, mm-hmm. especially like you were talking about with the, you know, the better players.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan MacKinnon is the best player on the ice in this series.
Absolutely.
That's going
to
be the difference.
I think Nazem Kadri needs to step up and do what he did in the Coyotes series. And I think they can easily come back and take the Stars for what they should have already done, you know, this series.
The Avs will really regret game one
yeah.
because that was a huge moment in flipping this series.
Well, because they only had hurt. A day, right? They only had a day off, and they went right back into the next series.
Well, the one they won, they played back-to-back nights.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't even so they didn't even have a day off.
No, and then they had a day off yesterday.
I'm talking about from the first series to the second series. They only had 1 day off.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. From the Coyotes to the Stars.
Yeah, exactly. And we just Stars, keep it moving.
But the Stars had already won mm-hmm. and had almost a week nearly off waiting for the Avs.
Well, and you saw that with the Heat against the Bucks. The Heat had been sitting mm-hmm. for a week, and it worked out well for them.
They swept
Indiana.
Indiana.
And in aggressive form. The Heat said it was one of the longest, toughest weeks they'd ever had, sitting in that bubble with no games. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to understand
how
that would be. Yeah.
You've been playing games, you've been getting up practice, and you don't need to because there's nothing on the books.
Well, it's a whole nother animal when you're not in your own bed and you can't go see or
hotel
talk people
bedrooms.
Or do anything. You can only do so much rigged fishing.
So, like, it's just a, like now for Toronto, or I'm sorry, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay Lightning, now they're sitting, and they got to wait until at least Sunday?
At least Sunday.
Sunday or Monday? So,
and
where are
they
going to be
doing? The way this series looks, man, it could be Monday, almost Tuesday,
so,
until they even get to play.
Vegas and Vancouver, I mean, Vancouver came back to win last night, so there's a game six there. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a long while for for Tampa Bay to play a game.
That'll be of the when we crown a champion. All this is factored into look at what they had to do to get there, you know, kind of stuff. It's gonna be.
So
exciting.
I want to ask you guys, what do the Avalanche need to do to come back and win this series and make the next round?
I hate to sound too simplistic, but do exactly what they did last game.
I think they need to do what they did against Coyotes. Bro.
Yeah, and you saw in some of those the ending of some of those bubble games. I call them same thing with the NHL.
The bubble.
The Vegas game specifically, in overtime, they weren't pulling the trigger, and that's why they lost that game. So instead of kind of waiting for the perfect shot, they just need to get shots up. And real quick before we get out of the hockey here for all the DraftKings and BetMGM people out there, Avs are favored as very slight, minus 115 favorite to win game six tonight.
And I think this is all about the goalie, okay? It's going to be about goalkeeping. I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying is we don't feel pressure, we apply pressure. And you're going to just pepper that goalie. You saw Vegas Golden Knights try and do that last night. That goalie kind of had the – when the pitcher throws a one-hitter kind of thing, he was just great. Most goalies, you sit there and pound them 40 times, you're going to sneak a couple through. And then you play fast, you play hard, and you put pressure on. I think we're going to get game seven.
Without a lot of playoff.
And speaking of speaking of runs and bats, boy, oh, boy, do the Rockies need some of those, man.
Guess what?
Yeah, let's hear it.
They're back. They were down 6-1.
in the second inning?
No, check this out. Middle of the eighth. They're up 9-6.
Yep. Oh no, I'm talking about the 23-5 game. Did anybody check that one out? Was it last night?
Oh, that was a nightmare.
23-5. Dickerson, am I wrong? Dickerson hit three bombs, had like nine RBIs.
5-for-6 on the day.
5-for-6, dude. You rarely even get five at bats.
You want to hear a crazy stat from
that? Dude.
Last night, 16 total bases. He tied a Giants record of all people.
16 total bases.
16 total bats.
Willie Mays.
Tied Willie Mays.
Was it really?
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was historic. It was historic, and it looked like we were getting ready to do it again. I was worried for Bud Black if he wasn't going to get fired this afternoon the way this one started, 6-1, and the things were getting worse. I tell you, though, this is
Bud
the
Black
year.
Bud Black needs to go. So does Bridich. So does Bridich.
It's really hard, to criticize a single player or manager here when ownership is clearly at fault here. Look at all the money. That they misdirect.
No offseason moves.
Listen,
none. Look at all the money we're tied up in.
They didn't do anything for the trade deadline except for picking up
Pillar.
Kevin Pillar. That's actually a pretty good move.
Is
but it's
it?
Like,
when you need pitching, You need a bullpen.
Yeah, but you got to do something when you're halfway through a 60-game season. One, just to make it look like the people are actually working instead of having the offseason that we
had. It doesn't look like they're working at all. You're going to go grab a half. You know, a half. You know, I wanted to say something else, but, you know, not even that good of a bat. I don't think he's that great of a bat, by the way.
But what's he going to do?
Where's he going
to
play?
He came from the last place Red Sox to.
Where's he going
to
play?
Well, but that's your little. That's your token here. We did this
in
move
what,
to
in
pretend
Hampson's
we're doing
place?
Something. It's nothing. It's nothing for the team.
No.
They've got one starting pitcher. They've got one. Okay, they've got two elite position players. That's it.
Arenado.
They've got Arenado, and Story is elite.
What about Blackman?
He's no longer elite. He's
what?
He's sometimes
the best
a
on the team
he's
right
a sometimes power player.
He's talking about in the field.
In the field,
fielding. Okay,
he's
okay.
Just a hitter though. Now he's going to hit a high average. He's going to hit bombs. He's not the same player he was 3 or 4 years ago. We know that he deteriorated quickly. He got old quickly.
We are going to take a quick break, guys, and come back with some Broncos and NFL talk. Man, they are not looking too hot with 9 days left. Guys, this is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Beat On Air Network.
Every day, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air. College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere. And I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah. Because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today. So find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Hurry, young Papsy. We must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me. Which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
And we are back. Again, ladies and gentlemen, for segment three here on the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. Ryan's back there making the music. Anthony's on the left. Marty's on the left. Carlos is on the right, and I'm right in the middle of it all. We are going to talk about the hometown Broncos. Guys, I don't think they're looking too good right now in the preseason. 9 days, eight days left to the start of the NFL season. Guys, thoughts? I mean, excitement?
For the Broncos, yeah. I think their defense, ever since Vic Fangio ripped them apart last week, you know, or 10 days ago, they've stepped up. They rattled Drew Lock a little bit, too.
Yeah, I seen that. He's thrown 5 pick-sixes this week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does that concern you guys?
That's kind of to be expected with his level of experience in the NFL
against the defense that he is
our
playing.
Defense. Yeah, that's not surprising to me in training camp.
So this COVID-19 sort of dry air of sports
bubble
killed
camp.
Sports. Yeah, right. We invented a lot of things. One of the things we invented or made up in our heads was that Drew Lock was about to ascend to MVP type. Quarterback, right? We made that up over the offseason.
We
saw him down there at the march, right? Okay, so we pretended all that. And then we thought, well, look at the draft. He's got all this speed now, and he's got elite tight ends and an improving
elite
line.
Elite tight ends? You talking Denver?
Should develop into
an elite tight end. I think that's what you have there.
I think Noah Fant's got 3 years till he's elite.
No, I mean, he's probably on the cusp of it right now.
You say he's top 15 tight end.
Oh, sure.
Top 10.
Sure, you draw. If you were
top 10
if
tight
you
end?
If you had no tight end and you want to start one, and you say, I got 10 to choose from, you don't pick him first, but you'd get him within 10. Yeah, because you want that body.
Especially as a second-year player.
Yeah, you want a second-year young with a body like that that doesn't – there's nothing to think he can't be a Kelsey. Why? But so, anyways, the tools around him are fantastic, right? So, but we pretended that that Drew Lock didn't play 11 games; he played 111 games, right? And all this experience to us. So I'm looking at something that's a little bit telling. I'm looking at Denver as a 2-point favorite that night against the Titans when we open up. Now, you tell me what that means.
I mean,
this is a team that they rolled over the Patriots. So do you see how interesting
that
is?
They rolled over the – I mean, that defense rolled over the Patriots, dude.
No. Travis Henry rolled over the Patriots. Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That defense kept Tennessee in games. It wasn't Tannehill. It wasn't Tajay Sharp. It wasn't the tight end. No, it was Derrick Henry and the defense.
Also, don't forget their starting left I forget if it's left or right
tackle.
Here
we go with the left tackles.
He's not even there anymore.
Right. True. Jarrell Casey.
Yes.
He's over here.
Yeah. But I don't think they're going to have to keep Fant in the block to help the offensive line.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Fant's going to get as many, you know, pass attempts as you think.
Let's face it.
Your best blocking tight end.
They brought in two speedsters too, so he's gonna lose balls no matter what, just because they're gonna need to be fed.
KJ Hamler's not gonna get the work you think. With Jerry Judy and Sutton gonna take most of it.
Exactly. It's deep. It's deep.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you overinflated Drew Lock because it's like, look at all these tools. Mm-hmm. But then you think about what's the odds that Drew Lock could even sniff Patrick Mahomes' jock this next year, and it's zero. You have Patrick Mahomes coming to his prime, his premium, with all his tools.
He's in his prime.
He's got probably a top two or three coach, right?
Probably the best coach in the NFL at the moment.
Yeah, you know, so it's right there.
Everybody argues Belichick.
If you want to get nitpicky, you know, that's like picking between, you know,
best
supermodels.
Best offensive coach in the NFL. We can start there.
Okay. So it's like, okay, let's say he plays to reasonable expectations. The problem is still you're a second place in the division. Yep. It's the best you can do. Yes. It's the best you can do next year.
Yeah, right.
Just get in the playoffs,
and
baby.
So now you're trying to find playoff berth. And I think based on – the Raiders are going to be weak, and I think San Diego's going to be soft. There's no reason they can't get second place. Whether that's good enough for the playoffs, I don't know.
With Pat Shurmur, the type of offense that he does, you know, coming from the Giants.
He dumps the ball.
He dumps the ball quickly, and he's going to have to because the GB zone, Garrett Bowles.
Yep.
Hold
century.
But even though I mentioned that Fant needs to come stay in block, yeah, Fant will get four catches a game. Granted. He'll get a couple, maybe, I think he'll probably score maybe 8 touchdowns for the whole year.
Yeah, because he's going to get all those jump balls. He's going to get all those red zone TDs.
Fant scores 8 touchdowns.
Or more, maybe.
Michael Thomas only had 11, dude.
Are you going to Fant in the red zone?
That's
over
what I'm saying.
Sutton, though?
Well, you got both.
You got both.
I mean,
let them pick their poison.
But,
about that?
I'm going to ask Ron, I'm going to ask our producer a question real quick. If Patrick Mahomes falls down this year, do the Broncos take the division?
No.
Sorry, I jumped in there.
I don't know about that. Honestly, Drew Lock has a lot to prove, okay? He's got all the potential in the world. But the highest that he could go would be what Pat Shurmur did with the Vikings and Case Keenum a couple years ago, mm-hmm. with Drew Lock where he's at right now. Yeah. So that's best case scenario. I think – most likely they're going to be a solid team, 8-8. I don't think, regardless of what happens to Pat Mahomes, if he goes down, I don't think 8-8 gets you in the playoffs this year. I think maybe next year, if you tell me Pat Mahomes goes down, I think, you know, if we made some stride, the Broncos made some stride, I think absolutely.
Okay,
they
so
take
if the
that.
Broncos don't win the division, do they make the playoffs?
But you asked if Mahomes goes down.
If Mahomes goes down, does Denver win the division
for the season or a couple weeks?
Well, here.
No.
If he goes down for the season, by far we take the division.
Okay. Three weeks like you did last year.
No, we still finish second. Maybe 9-7, maybe 10-6.
So literally, Patrick Mahomes has got to go down with an ACL tear for the rest of the season for you guys to win this division.
At that point, does that even happen?
So nobody else in this division is challenging for second or first.
Maybe the Raiders, but I don't see
it. Just for first, it's actually going to be very tight second, with the Raiders being the weakest.
Because I honestly got
I'm not
LA
looking
last.
I'm not looking off the Raiders at all.
Mm-mm. I am.
So the L.A.,
I mean,
the
I'm
Chargers,
not looking off
though.
Josh Jacobs.
The only thing that they did this offseason is just improve the team through free agency and through the
and
draft.
And John Gruden is talking about Mr. Mariota starting over Derek Carr.
Yeah, so that's why I say they can be the bottom one.
Yeah, okay.
With L.A. being the most, without a quarterback,
Tyrod Taylor starting, yeah. Today,
they announced, and that excites no one.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, and that excites no one, and that's a depressing state to be thinking. But here's the deal: Herbert was a reach. He's early, but they love the body. They love the frame.
I love Herbert.
If you watch the Stanford game last year, which Oregon was up, I think by 24,
the
wheels fell off. And so, anytime the wheels fall off in that capacity, I look at a quarterback or a coach, and I say, you did nothing to stop this.
You're not ready.
Right.
Not
and so, anyways, he might be there, right? But I'm saying we're early. So you'll see Herbert next year for sure. You'll see Tua next year.
I got a question for the room. Does Denver in this division have the leading wide receiver in yards?
No.
Oh, God, no.
You got to remember.
For the league?
No, in the division.
You got to remember. No.
Okay, so I'm guessing everybody is walking towards Tyreek Hill. Am I wrong?
For all-purpose yards or just receiving
and
yards?
And you got to remember, Keenan Allen's been doing it for a while,
Total receiving yards. That's what I'm saying. This division has got a good bit of wide receiver talent. You know, with Ruggs over there in Vegas now, Hunter Renfro's over there. They just lost, Williams? Tyrell Williams, I think, just went down. So Keenan Allen is there, Mike Williams. And then you got Sutton. You got Judy. And then you go over to the masterminds over there. And
so you're wanting to know if the Broncos will have the leading receiver in the division.
Yes. Yards and TDs.
Absolutely not.
Probably not, but I think you see it spread out so well and so nice.
I know you're going to Courtland Sutton. Who you're assuming would be the one leading, right?
Yeah.
Him and Drew Lock do not have enough experience together yet. They have enough offseason prep
had
time coming
yards
into this year.
With two starting quarterbacks last year.
So to piggyback off of Anthony here, the Bleacher Report has Noah Fant in the top 10 fantasy.
Oh, what? Yeah. There's no doubt that he's a
top 10
tight
fantasy
end.
Quarterback?
So
especially with the way tight ends look like.
Right. So it has.
There's no doubt. Yeah,
I'm about to say, who else is on that list, Carlos?
Well, of course, you got Gronkowski as number one. You know,
Bleacher Report has him at number one.
The Bleacher Report's got Gronkowski as number one?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh.
No, who's number one? I don't know.
I thought you had a list.
It's not hard to figure out. Kelsey and Kittle.
Ertz.
I forget his name. The guy from Baltimore is.
Mandrews.
Yes, he's number three on a lot of fantasy. I took
my boy, Darren Waller. Don't be sleeping. On Darren Waller.
Darren Waller won me a fantasy championship last year.
He won me a championship, and I got him in both
leagues,
dude.
A serviceable tight end that I drafted low.
Dude, I'm talking, look. People are going to sleep. Dude, this guy's going to have 1,000 yards, dude.
Tyler Higbee out there, Evan Engram.
Did you just say Tyler Higbee?
Higbee?
Yep.
Come on. What's he doing in Los Angeles, dude? Is he even playing?
No.
Evan Engram, I can see.
Zach Ertz.
I was going to say Zach Ertz. Could he be a Zach Ertz? I think so.
Dallas Goedert's on there?
Yeah. Noah Fant?
Yeah.
Oh,
so, dude, Philly's got two tight ends in the top 10.
Yeah.
And you're going to see Zach Ertz lose a lot of targets to
Which Dallas I don't understand, Goddard. Bro. Yes. Zach Ertz is talent.
Yeah, but you just saw it happen last year. Like, you can kind of see where Ertz, he's still a high-level player, especially at tight end.
Whoa.
This happens all the time. You see top talent get hurt, and their predecessor comes in, doesn't do bad at all for a lot less, and coaches are like, I can get what you do for 500 grand instead of 5 million.
Sure, and that's the running back thought going on right now.
And like you said, the same thing, but I think tight ends are the same way.
No. Tight ends have ascended to premium dollars. George Kittle in San Francisco is saying, I'm not a tight end. You don't pay me tight end money. Yeah. You pay me wide receiver money. You pay me $20 million.
Gives
pay
you
me
wide
Julio.
Receiver production.
I want Michael Thomas's money.
You pay me wide receiver money. I can also block. George Kittle's the best blocking tight end in the league.
Real quick, I got a top 10.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hunter Henry, Chargers, number 10. Tyler Higbee, Rams, number 9. Austin Hooper, Browns, number 8. Jared Cook, Saints, 7. Darren Waller, Raiders, 6. Gronk, Bucks at 5.
Fair.
Mark Andrews, Ravens. Zach Ertz, 3. Eagles. And this is George Kittle, 49ers.
Kelsey.
And then you got Kelsey. This is according to CBS.
No one else has any reality game show.
CBS top 10 tight ends. You just heard it right here on the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network.
taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Pretty young Popsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. Ryan back there making the music. Romantony on my left. Marty on the left. Carlos Rodriguez on the right.
Yep.
And I'm your main man, Squirrel. We got one more for you here, guys, before we catch it out today. And come back tomorrow for some more sports talk. I wanted to really, you know, talk about this. I'm a big Yankee fan. This Yankees-Rays deal. Does anybody have anything? Does anybody know?
Yeah.
Was this the Chapman?
Yes.
Is it the fastball?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 101 mile per hour fastball that almost hit the head of pinch hitter Michael Purcell.
Yeah. Which, how the heck?
I don't know what was going on in the context of
hey,
the
homie,
game.
Homie was in the batting circle 15, 20 feet to the side and still almost gets destroyed. I mean, and I'm not talking by, you know, 78-mile-an-hour curveball flying around. This is a 101 mile-an-hour ball off of Aroldis Chapman for one.
So he struck him out, and while Purcell was walking back towards the dugout, some words exchanged. And that's when people started coming out of the dugouts.
Well, so one thing that I took from it, guys, is the fact is Aroldis Chapman throws 102. Everybody in the league knows he can get up to 102, 103, right?
106 is 106, his record, yeah.
He's touched in crazy numbers, right? Mm. The thing is he knows in the last out of the inning, that batter is going to step up, and he's a nobody. If he buzzes one right by his head, he knows that batter has no confidence the rest of that bat. Boom, there it is, third out of the game.
Yep, Easy, mm-hmm. easy peasy. Get him scared. That's what, dude. Listen, that's what Chapman does a lot. That you're sitting in batting practice before the game, and your pitching coach is tossing you balls, and you're just laying them down. You're feeling good. You get through the whole game, you know, playing baseball, and Chapman steps on the mound in the eighth, and you're staring at a 6 foot. He's like 6'4", 6'5", tossing, you know, three digits on a speed scale, dude. Like, you're not excited about it. Mm-mm. You're not looking to bat right now. You know, you're wishing, hey, can I have had the last pitcher that was up
well,
there?
I think there was some frustration with the Yankees because
I'm watching. They came from center field.
So there were. They ended a six-game losing streak after last night's game. So, you know, there was some frustration there losing, you know, Yankees. I mean, they never really lose that much in a row. And now you have maybe some more games to lose. Chapman received a three-game ban, and both coaches, Boone and Cash, were suspended one game.
So here's the thought is that's like a lethal weapon, probably, yeah. That thing. Right, and so very few, there's a handful of pitchers that can get those kind of numbers. There was a Cardinal guy last year, 2 years, that you'd see him. It was 101, 102, 101. I mean, it was just
Jordan Hicks.
There
Jordan
you go. Hicks. Beautiful, thank you. You don't see it much. And so it's like, okay, we'll allow that in the league. You know, you can have that big old gun out here, but you use it improperly, there's going to be punishment. Because truthfully, to think that he's that accurate to put something 2 or 3 inches away from somebody's head at 102 – that's either outlandish arrogance or just ignorance, because you could kill somebody
with
that speed.
I think Ryan has actually got a valid point. Mm-hmm. And like he said, you buzzed that thing by Brousseau, which mm-hmm. That was the batter, right, Brousseau?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You buzz it by somebody like that who is a nobody, doesn't really play much in Major League Baseball. And like you said, that man's scared.
It's totally
that,
right.
That last pitch, the last, it was only like 96 miles an hour, and it was right under the box, dude. And
didn't matter at that point.
Whiffed.
No, like, it's right. It's over.
He was 2 inches under. He wasn't even close, dude. And it's just a pure scaredness.
He's also your closer too in a you know obviously a tough closing situation. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make any sense. To put him on the mound and then have him throw at a guy
right.
when you're trying to win the game.
No,
it makes
no sense
whatsoever.
I don't think Boone had him throw at him.
No.
I don't think anybody had him. I think Aroldis Chapman took stuff into his own hands and said, hey, I'm going to get this out whether you like it or not.
As this when you carry around the biggest gun in the building.
Honestly,
check this thing out, buddy. If you want a piece of this,
yeah.
Step back in. It's as you stated. Yeah. Those are rare guns, and you use it as you see fit. And so
Yankees only expect
dangerous though.
Yankees only expect Chapman to throw 7-8 pitches to him, and game's over. You know they don't expect 25-30 pitches out of this man. So he can throw 105 for 7 straight pitches, and no one cares.
Is the 3 games fair then in this situation?
Real quick, let me pause all y'all. Let me pause all y'all. Is 3 games fair? How many games did the Astros get suspended for?
Not one.
Okay. So all of this is irrelevant.
Exactly. I don't think you should spend anything right now. If anybody's suspended, it should be Houston for the whole season. Maybe another few seasons.
So
for
that,
what? Go ahead.
No, so to go towards Ryan's philosophy, I totally agree now. I'm just looking at the video of it.
Threw that thing by his head.
Right. And the next pitch.
Just scared out of his mind.
His head was already in the dugout when he swung.
He was trying to back him off.
He was literally trying to walk to the dugout.
It was a mental game at that point. Aroldis Chapman flexed on him. He won. Yeah. And he did exactly what he was going for.
Listen, you can flex with 105 mile an hour fastball, dude.
Like, with that gun.
Who honestly, how many people swing at that thing and actually connect it? I mean, connect and send it, you know, and get it gone.
Well, that's the thing. If you connect, it's gone.
If you connect, it is gone.
The major league batter that not only connects with it, but he saw that pitch came in, saw the one he wants, dug that all in a split second, put it outside the park. That blows me away that you can make that decision
quick
on him. But this is what it is because you say, is the 3-game suspension enough? I don't know.
if he hits him,
yeah, it's way
and
too much.
He kills that guy, or that guy's out for 6 months because of then it's like
we're having a different conversation.
Yeah, then it's like a big suspension, you know. But
think about if that ball connected.
Does this deter him? I don't know.
If that ball connected,
y'all remember Kirby Puckett's career was ended on a similar situation, and that was a 94 mile an hour fastball.
That's what I'm saying. Anything 80, 78, 90, dude, it's hurting. I don't care where it hits you, the leg, the shoulder, the. You know, and especially every time we see somebody get hit in the head, like something like that, it's always, ooh, like, dang.
Yeah. Baseball is so hard up on all of its old rules, aren't they, with the throwing at guys. And
you mean the unwritten rules?
All these unwritten rules and stuff. But I think throwing at a guy's head, it's going to be hard to get the support to say, no, we need that in the game.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I think what Chapman did was just as childish as what come on, guys.
There's also
– just the other week. Huh? Just the other week.
Are you talking about the Dodgers pitcher or the –
Yeah, that's right. I'm having a brain crush.
Walker Buehler?
No.
Buehler?
No. Buehler? No. The Tatis. He smashes a grand slam. And then the coach after that
– The Padres.
Made the pitcher throw the ball at the next batter. Like, why? Because you don't like the unwritten rules that aren't rules because they broke them? No. You got to – I'm putting what Chapman did is in the same aspect as what that coach did, is what – was it the Rangers coach?
But side note, though, real quick, isn't it sort of cowardly of Chapman to use that as a way to go at it? Like, I'm the bigger – I'm going to flinch and think I'm going to hit you, but
I don't know, though. Is it cowardly if you're using it as a strategic measure, though?
It's tough because it's going to hurt if it hits me.
No matter strategic or not, man, you don't throw the ball at somebody's
that's
head.
That's where the line
strategically or not, I don't care. He could have killed that man.
Right. All it takes is a minor slip throwing that baseball, and that dude is
– Dude, think about it. If that guy wouldn't have ducked it, you know, if he wouldn't have, you know, done what he done, we'd be talking about a whole different – story right now, dude.
Matt Holliday hit 101.
Matt Holliday
hit a home run at 101.
He didn't seem like he was a hard thrower.
He hit a 101.
Okay.
Yeah.
Guys, before we get out of here, let's preview some NBA playoffs.
Oh gosh,
tonight.
We're getting into game 7 right now.
My bad.
Because I got to talk about this.
OKC.
Let me set the table first by saying, first off, I have a soft spot for CP3. I always have. Now everybody else does too because they want to see this retribution. I think everyone thinks he got kind of shorthanded.
A raw deal in Houston?
From the trade, exactly. And you know, some of it.
I think he's made the most out of his trade, though.
Oh, 100%. Who would have thought that the Thunder is in
40,
the fifth
was it 42
seed right
wins?
Now.
He put up 42 wins, right? Just Chris Paul.
And, I mean, they got a good young team, and they're just playing well. But let me get some predictions, guys. You have two MVPs, Harden and Westbrook, on the same team. Who comes out on top tonight? The OG CP3 or the Rockets?
No, I don't think CP3's got this game 7 in him. He's going to need help, and he hasn't been getting much of it. And I think one of the greatest scorers in NBA history, in James Harden and Russell Westbrook. They're going to take care of business.
Rockets versus Lakers next round.
Take care of it, and then the Lakers going to take care of that business. So,
let me say this: this has been a fun series to watch.
100%.
This has been one of the treats. Now you've seen them. I see this. I see one team, Houston, with the elite of elite offensive players. Nothing like it. Nothing like it in the world.
Right.
Small ball too.
Small ball. Yeah, and none of them are 7 foot, 6'9".
No. Not at all. And then you see the Thunder, which are actually a real team. So here's what you've got. You've got the battle of bigs. And I think Steven Adams is a very good big man, okay? And I think CP3
– Yeah, he is.
I think CP3 is to be beyond trusted in this moment, okay? So this is what I'll say is this, is provided that James Harden is not in that step-back three mode where every single thing – he's going for 40 to 50 points tonight – the Thunder win this game for no other reason that when that second unit for Houston comes in, they drop off so far.
Yeah, there is
so much.
Yeah, the talent drop off is crazy.
As long as the Thunder are staying in while Harden's in, they're going to win game 7.
Yeah.
This is my key. This is why I'm giving it to the Thunder right now. One, same thing with the Nuggets. Momentum. Mm-hmm. They're riding it right now. Mm. Two.
So Chris Paul takes them to the land.
I think so. Russell Westbrook
historically is not good in the playoffs.
He doesn't love the moment, does he?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
He didn't do good at OKC in the playoffs.
He's shooting low percentages in the moment.
Yeah, and not only did he blow the game the other night with turnovers and everything like that, I don't know how you don't have the ball in James Harden's hand. I do think they are going to change that tonight, and he's going to be the guy to take charge this game.
And that's my fear. He goes for 40-plus. It's over. They contain him, the Thunder and the Lakers.
Ooh, well, guys,
that's a good
series. Heard some of the highlights and headlines of sports today right here on the Press Box. We have had a lot of things happening throughout the world, and we are here every day to tell you about it. Marty on my left, thank
Do
you
not
for
forget
coming
these abs.
Today, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Anthony right there on the left as well. Mr. Carlos on my right.
Pucked
I'm your main
six.
Man, Squirrel. Ryan Youngstrand and Mr. T. Weber in the back making the music. Guys, we will see you here tomorrow at 4 o'clock on the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com. I'm part of the Beat On Air Network. See ya!